Full Works pre-game interview.
The most important person in local football, the CEO, the number one on Jason Doherty's power broker list. She might not like
sham.
It, but
bad luck. Sham list.
Sham list. Kate Patterson sitting alongside Jane Birch. Birchie?
Yeah, well, Kate, besides being the most important person in local footy, you would definitely be the busiest. I know you've said to us how busy the year has been, but once we hit finals, it just goes up another level altogether. Give us a little bit of a snapshot. I saw you out at the Bellarine last weekend.
Correct.
Give us a snapshot of your last two weekends and how many grounds you have managed to get around to.
Oh, my goodness. I've lost track of whatever day it is, but I've been at Bellarine quite a lot. I've actually just come from Joey's this morning, so out at Herne Hill, and was watching some amazing junior finals last week. Actually, I was at Lara last week, wasn't I? I was Lara for the female footy. It's just been, I think this is our fourth of 7 weekends of footy. So, yeah, been everywhere. But I tell you what, yes, it's been busy, but I think the team has been working just crazy hours. Footy and netball operations teams, much as I might say I've been busy, they've been getting here at 7 in the morning and working right through. So it's massive team effort.
And obviously a lot of the dialogue, unfortunately, has been about a little bit of a... division in senior men's football in terms of the teams and, the ones at the top and down the bottom. Mm. But this is the showcase now. We hit finals time and you must be absolutely wrapped when you go around the grounds. The Bellarine is as competitive as ever. That's up for grabs.
Yep.
You come to the GFL, anyone could win in this competition as well. And out on the netball courts, there's been some absolute thrillers. Yesterday I watched a bit of that. So it's in a really healthy state in terms of, sort of the top five teams, really anyone can win it. And the feeling around the local competition is awesome at this time of the year.
Oh, how good. That's exactly right. I've seen, so particularly netball, lots of, one-point margins, but footy as well. There's been some incredible results out at Bellarine, and I was keeping an eye on the scores here yesterday as well. But, no, it's been awesome to watch.
Kate, thanks for joining us. Just we had Shana Miyake just join us from the Lara Working Group. They are adamant they will be playing senior football next year. Are you taking that as a given, or do you still need to see something from them to say we're doing it and give them till October 1, or are their indications good enough that you'll be starting to develop a fixture that will include them?
Look, we're certainly doing that. We're certainly looking at the fixture on the assumption we'll have 12 teams, but we'll also go through the due diligence when it comes to 1st of October. And Shana and I are speaking regularly. I actually spoke to her this morning on the way in, but just we're just keeping in touch. And it's great to hear that they're doing well. I know they're getting close to appointing coaches for both netball and football, which is great to hear. Doing really well on the recruiting front. So, look, we want to provide as much support as we can to them. And Shana, I mean, she's a force, and what she's done is incredible. But the good thing now for us is that it's not just Shana on her own. She's got this great working group around her. I think now, 30 people. Like I said, I was out at Lara last week, and the sense of community out there was incredible. This real sort of positive feeling of momentum, and I hope that translates to what we all want to see next year, which is Lara back for both footy and netball.
Is there a concern about the potential of a lack of competitiveness from especially their senior football team?
We absolutely will keep an eye on that. I think that's what the board and the ops committee are sort of wanting to understand better. So as we get through the next few weeks and post finals, we'll certainly be looking at that. But I think I think that what we would love to see right now is that coach announcement, and I've said that to Shana, that I think that moment they can announce a coach and then we can sort of start to really understand exactly who they're signing, and we want to see a level of competition, but look, I think they're definitely on the right track.
Talking about the Bowen Blueprint and the fact that the working group is different to the board,
and their
timeline is still middle of next year to do the presentation.
Yep.
And I suppose, have you already contemplated what the outcomes might be? Like, have you got a framework that sits in, or because I mean, they could go completely rogue here, as a working group, and go completely left of centre. Are you ready for that?
No, look, I'll tell you what, we haven't, and we're deliberate. We're being very deliberate in this the process. We've got this whole sort of methodology we're using, and at the moment, it's very much around trying to put aside that temptation to leap to conclusions.
Yep.
Having said that,
think might have to happen.
Yes. Yes, but having said that, I will say one thing. In our very first meeting, Ash West came along.
Mm-hmm.
I guess just to sort of give the handover from the board to the committee.
Number four.
And he...
number three, actually. Sorry, number three. Mick Fitzgerald's number four, and we'll talk about Mick in a minute. Keep going.
Ash came along and I guess just gave the... set the scene for the group and gave them the permission to go rogue as you want, do what you need to do. I will say that he did put out some... you know, really sort of big thinking, just to get people to understand, we're serious about coming up with something that we think will really set us up for the next, 15 to 20 years and talked about it could be everything from doing nothing to going completely rogue. And everything in between.
We've spoken to the Ballerine president on a number of occasions. he is number four and with a bullet, because he was number 10 last year. So he's doing his job as the Ballerine president. There's no doubt about that, Kate.
Talk about going rogue. So listen to this. Yesterday, Fitzy hosted the halftime function, and he literally walked up, took the mic, and started to tell a joke. And it was, and I think the whole room was sitting there going, "Where's he going with this?" But it was actually gold. I'm going to get him as the warm up for the grand final. He can tell a joke, that guy.
He's very dry, but he can tell a good joke. He's had some conversations. He was telling us last week. He's obviously speaking to AFL Victoria. He's got local parliamentarians.
They're at his dinner on Thursday night.
He's talking to everybody who will listen about the relationship and how the Ballerine he and the presidents think it should work.
100%. Yeah. And also the board. They've got a great board, BFNL. So look, I would say he's probably one of the most dialed or received numbers on my phone now. And we talk all the time. It's working really well having Fitzy and also Todd, to be honest, on the board. It's just so good. I can't imagine not having them.
He's a good man. Just to segue into that then, because we had Mick last week and we talked about the Lara and having Shana on as well today. He ultimately said that it was a decision from Ballerine that they didn't want Lara to come into the Ballerine. How does that work? How does Ballerine can make that decision, can they, as opposed to AFL Barman making that decision?
Yeah, look, it's complex. I mean, the reality is with Lara at the moment, they actually are in, they're in our league, right? They're in A-League, GFNL. Yep. Now, for them to transfer to a league, they would have to, and as AFL Victoria, have a very clear process for transferring. The first step in that process is they need the league, the destination league, it's called, they need the destination league to agree to accepting them. So they had to have that discussion with BFNL. Now, yes, we're obviously heavily involved in BFNL, but they, the first step was really to talk to the presidents, which they did, and they had a good hearing. But through that process, I think it was clear that BFNL felt that they're still settling down. The Suns are only 1 year into the competition. They had some pretty good reasons, and I think, Lara walked away, and probably Shana would have said this too. I think they felt like at least they had a good hearing. We've said, look, let's just keep them in the GFNL for the moment. And it's the other thing is, while we're doing this blueprint work, let's get through that, and then who knows beyond 2027.
What happens after that? The only other thing I'd like to know your thoughts on is a lot of keyboard warriors out there, and
who would have thought?
We see a lot of keyboard warriors, and look, I'll be honest with you, I get a bit jack of it, and I don't have anything to do with AFL Barman, but I see a lot of critics sort of bag South Barman and AFL Barman and the competition, particularly the GFL, because of the way the GFL's sort of laddered. How do you take that on board? I see the same people make the same comments.
They're ill-educated and uneducated.
But
I always look at it first and foremost. It's great that the community are passionate about what we do, and that's what you want, right? That's a good thing. It does tend to be the same people, and I don't know. Quite often people also contact me directly, and I think anyone would say this to you. I'd prefer to pick up the phone and talk to them where I can, and not everyone wants to have a two-way conversation. Some of them just like to tell us what they think, and that's fine too. But generally, I will say, honestly, I rarely look, and I'd say this to the team too, I rarely do look at the comments. The team will tell me there's something that I need to be aware of, but we're pretty clear about what we want to do, and we've just got to stick to it and stick to our guns, and yeah, I think we're in a good position.
Busy time in the box and also during finals at the moment, the way things are happening in here, but I'm sure we'll talk. Yeah, grand final going okay. We're all sorted for both grand finals coming up.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's actually really, I love events and I love finals, and I think the team are doing really well. I mean, a couple of them still had time to get to the MCG on Friday night. We've got a bit of a split team with some Carlton and Geelong supporters. I think everyone, it's good at the moment. It feels pretty calm. And look, the clubs that we work with to host these events, they do a lot of the heavy lifting, and they're outstanding, I have to say. Both Port Arlington and West have been incredible.
Well, what's incredible is that they've finally, it was one goal apiece
at three-quarter time,
and there's 7 minutes to play in the reserves here. It's 3:10:28 apiece now. So just to make matters worse, we might have extra time, which would be even hilarious.
That would be, but we talk about the split ladder. It's good to see Snorbans playing in a reserves final. It's great to see them hit the top five.
And I tell you what, they've come out. They've got plenty of supporters here.
Yeah, they have. Haven't they? What?
Absolutely.
It's probably the loudest supporters we've heard in a few years, I think. Marzi will be over there leading them, wouldn't he, Adam Marsland?
Absolutely.
Leading them.
Number one ticket holder over there.
And everything you'd have.
He would. Kate, well done. Thanks for joining us. And I'm sure we'll talk to you, Ballerine GFL Grand Final.
Love
I'm sure
to.
He will have you sorted out for those. So we'll wish you well for the finals.
Thank you. Thanks for everything you do. Love it.
Thanks,
Kate. Thank you.
No worries.
Well done, Kate
Patterson, the AFL Barwon CEO.
Poolworks pre-game interview.